Welcome back to part two. Welcome to the Encouragement Now podcast with licensed professional counselor Kevin Phillips, personal growth life coach Laura Donney, and pastoral care and peer counselor Joseph Ferreira. Yeah, I like the verse in Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And who we hang around with is very important. Now, we're not going to be prudish and say, oh, I'm not going to hang out with non-Christians, or I'm going to hang out with only worldly people, right? There's a lot of people that we need to hang out with. You know, we need to be salt and light in dark areas. We also need to be surrounded by others who can help us to do the right things. And so we can't only go to church and say, these are all my friends. I'm not going to have anything with the world. Or you can't be like, I'm only going to hang out in the world because I don't like Christian people. We need each other. And so, and I like, Laura, what you said about pursued versus pursuing, because those expectations that we have sometimes can be our stumbling block. It could be a block in our life that if I'm not being pursued, there's something wrong with them. Right? So if I'm not being pursued, they're not good people. I've even talked to people that say, oh, I keep looking for a church where the pastor's going to reach out to me. And I'm like, why? And he's like, what do you mean? Why? I would want the pastor to think about me. I said, okay, let's choose a medium-sized church of 100 people. And I want you to be the pastor. And I want you to reach out to every single person that's there, have meaningful conversations, get to know what's going on in their life, and just be constantly thinking of them. Can you do that? Like, no. I said, then why are you expecting the pastor to do that for you? Right? We need small groups. We need to be in community with small people. You know, Jesus had disciples, right? He had the 12, he had the 72, and then he had the thousands, right? Jesus hung out with the 12. We don't hear but a few times about the 72. And we know about the thousands because we know that people were following him because he fed them, right? But it wasn't feeding them all the time. They were like, hey, man, this guy has free food. We're gonna come follow him. And then he says something controversial, and they're like, yeah, we're out of here. But the 12, I think, is a good illustration of, hey, you know, what is your reach? What is your threshold of being able to have friends? 12 was a lot. Jesus even brought it down to 2 or 3. Mm-hmm. And so we have to think in those ways. Now, I go to church. I'm around a lot of people. I try to know people as best I can, but I can only know people where we meet. So we have a men's group. We meet twice a month, one on a Saturday, one on a Thursday, and I get to know some of these men pretty well. I'm also part of the sound team. So I get to know a lot of the people who are on the ministry team and who are doing all the things. And, you know, and so I find my reach is pretty far, but if I needed to be in communication with them all the time, and I would lose my mind. And so we have to be careful on what our expectations are. We have to understand that we can't always be pursued. Now, I'm going to pursue people until they signal to me that they don't want it. And so if I'm building a small group, so I have a college and career group that I lead, I'm going to reach out to them. If they don't want to be pursued, I'm not going to pursue them. Oh, how come you stopped calling me? Well, you didn't do your part. Right? You didn't reciprocate. I'm going to take the hint that you don't want to be a part of this. And so we have to monitor our expectations, reevaluate our expectations, and are we wanting to be pursued or are we pursuing? And if we start to flip those things around, we may find a little bit more success.
Well, I feel like you just gave me the perfect segue for something that I wanted to share. You know, it's like, it just amazes me how the three of us, by the Holy Spirit, coordinate our conversations, because we don't plan in advance what we're going to talk about and who's going to say what, right? And so this was like this perfect segue, because one of the things that came to me is we need to stop chasing people that don't want to be caught. That's one of my life's mottos, right? I don't care what their title is. I don't care how much I love them, right? I stopped chasing people who don't want to be caught. Number one, it exhausts me. Number two, it's very rude to chase people who don't want to be caught, you know? And so it's like, it's not good for either. And so I just give you permission, listener, if you find that you have this false sense of guilt, like, well, they are my fill in the blank, right? They're my dad. They're my mom. They're my son. They're my daughter. You know, I should, right? You got to be careful of the shoulds. We've talked about that before. But there's a time to pursue and there's a time to step back and allow God to do what God is going to do, you know, in a thing. And so this is where you helped me really segue, not into just that thought, Joseph, but into this thought. And, you know, listener, what the three of us want to tell you is we all have endured and will endure again a time of what I call laying down my Isaac. And what I mean by that is, you know, that scriptural place where, you know, Father Abraham took his treasured possession and laid it on the altar. He didn't know how that was going to end, but he trusted God with his treasure. There's people in our lives. Maybe for you, it's a person. Maybe it's a bunch of people that you love with all your heart. And no matter how hard you've chased them, you just can't catch them. They're just always further out. And I have experienced this in my own life, which is why I leave it with you, listener, which is I've learned in those seasons to lay my Isaac down, to entrust them to the Lord, to tell the Lord the truth, which is my heart is broken. I love them so much. I want relationship with them, but for whatever reason, they don't have the same desire. And it's very important that we don't tell ourselves a story again about what that means, because, again, most of the stories we tell ourselves in these situations are false. So it's good to just lament with God. I love them. I'm not pursuing them anymore. In fact, I love them so much, I'm going to lay them down. I'm going to lay them down at your feet, Lord Jesus. I'm going to lay my Isaac down, my precious treasure. And what happens is that when we do that, when we go through the process of lamenting and grieving and letting go, what ends up happening, number one, is not only do we get freer, but we go deeper into relationship with God, because we just laid our treasure down at his feet. Right. And so there's this intimacy that we can have, you know, with the Lord. And, you know, we're all familiar with that nursery rhyme, you know, leave them alone and they'll come home wagging their tails behind them. Well, there's no guarantee that that will happen. But here's the thing. When you find yourself in this situation that I have found myself in, and I have taken it to the Lord, and I have found greater freedom, I do find that what happens is your expectation. I think one of you gentlemen touched on this. The expectation changes. See, I'm not waiting constantly to see if they're going to text me or call me. No, I laid them. I laid them down. Amen. I love them enough to stop chasing them, because it's rude to chase people who don't want to be caught for whatever reason. Leave them alone. They'll come home wagging their tails behind them. And here's what I'm going to say. Whatever thing that they actually might be running from, maybe it's that you're a truth teller. Maybe it's that you love the Lord and it makes them uncomfortable, right? Whatever the case may be, more than likely, life is going to kick them in the teeth, stomp them in the face, like it happens to all of us. And they'll have a person that they'll be looking for that they want to come and they want to hear the truth, or they want to hear, where is God in this? And so it's very important for us to walk in fellowship with God, freedom from this belief that I have to be in relationship with everybody just because of a title.
Mm-hmm. So y'all know I'm about to say something country hick, right?
I hope so.
I tell people sometimes I'm not a coon dog. And they were like, what? And I even said that, I think, a couple of times in the podcast earlier on. But, you know, I don't chase. I do love people. And the way I try to live my life is to pray daily that God pour yourself through me, your love through me. And I really, I don't want this to sound self-serving, but I am so secure with God. And it has taken 40 years, 40 plus 45 years.
Yeah.
That I don't have to pursue friendships to learn another identity, to learn another hobby, to learn another interest. I pursue friendship because it's a built-in God opportunity to give him away, to invest in other people's lives. I don't need something from them. Of course, I am selfish, you know, so we all are. So I'm human. And yes, you know, like Joseph is my friend, but I need Joseph to do this podcast stuffy and editing and all. Yeah, there's things I need, but it's teamwork, right? It's not like that I'm trying to use him or whatever. So my motivation, I think we got to check our motivation, and you call it expectation, repeating what Joseph said. And I think that's very correct. Our motivation should be to spread God's love, not to what I can get out of it. I think if we approach life like that, we're going to be miserable. And so, and if the people are not accepting of that approach, or don't reciprocate, I'm not a coon dog. I won't chase them. You know, I don't need to chase them. My security is not wrapped up in chasing them.
Amen.
And so I hope that helps illustrate you guys' point. But I, you know, it goes back to when I was coon hunting with my grandfather a long time ago. I just learned not to be a coon dog. I let the coon dogs be the coon dog because they ran faster than me.
I love it. Yeah, because chasing, we all chase. We're all chasing something, and it's exhausting, right? Especially if we're not getting our financial term? If we're not getting our
ROI,
yeah,
dividends?
Return on investment. That's what I was looking for. We're not getting our return on investment. A couple things that came to my mind is we need to be vulnerable but guarded.
Ooh, I like that.
Okay. We have to be vulnerable enough to invite people in, vulnerable enough to, I would say, be inconvenienced, but also guarded, because people can, it's like blood in the water. You know, you may attract things that you don't necessarily want to attract. So we have to be very guarded in how we do that. So having good boundaries is something that you may need to work on if you don't have good boundaries. Being able to tell somebody no, especially for a person like me, I'm a reformed people pleaser. being able to say no can sometimes feel like you are letting somebody down.
Yeah.
Or or it feels like the wrong thing to do. And there are times where I have people say, I need this. I'm like, okay, good. Oh, can you help me? No, I can't. And then there's other times I'm like, yeah, I could do that. So we have to be vulnerable, yet we have to be guarded. Also, what is coming out of us? Sometimes, you know, there's two types of flowers in this world. There's the flowers that you can smell, and they smell fragrant. They smell great. And then there's this one flower that everybody talks about that blooms and it smells like death.
Mm.
Right? What do we smell like? Now, I'm not saying, oh, I shower every day. No. What is our personality like? Because either we're bringing a fragrance to our friendships and our situations, or do we smell like death? Do we smell putrid? And so we have to understand that we can't go through this world smelling a certain way and expecting a different result, right? If people can't stand us, we have to start looking at what's going on inside. I always say, you know, what's the common denominator here? Well, I don't have any friends. Nobody wants to be friends with me. Well, all right, now everything's pointing to you. So we have to figure out what's going on. And I'm not saying you're a terrible person. I'm not saying you're bad. But are you needy? Mm-hmm. Are you always looking for something from somebody else? And I've dealt with people where if I see them, I'm like, great, here they come. What do they need now? And I don't want to be that way, but I know through experience, through what interactions I have with them, is that I have an expectation that they're going to come and ask me for something. And 9 times out of 10, I'm usually correct. So what is going on within me? I have to check first. Am I being vulnerable enough? Do I have boundaries? What are my expectations? And are, you know, what is it in my life that is going on that may be repelling others from being my friend? So those are things that I would suggest you start looking at.
That is so good. You know, we always love to leave the listener with some thoughts. I feel like you did such a great job about that. I'm going to throw you, actually, Kevin's going to throw you the ball in a few moments, though, but because those were so good. One of the things that it sparked me to remember is that, listener, there's a difference between friendship and ministry. And, you know, pointing to what Joseph was alluding to, there's some people that are in your life, you think that they're your friends, but the reality is their ministry. And you need to know the difference, right? I've certainly, you know, learned over these many decades, right, what the difference is. Now, I can be in relationship with both, but it's important that I understand what the relationship actually is. Is it a friendship or is it ministry? And I think that can really help somebody begin to, you know, come out of false guilt, you know, and listen, God never called anybody to do ministry 24 hours a day. Even Jesus got away from ministry to go be with the Father and to be replenished and restored and renewed and refreshed. So I say this because in my experience, gentlemen, Christians suffer with guilty conscience way more than the world does. And so they don't know how to say no. They feel guilty if they say no. And listen, ministry is good, but it's not friendship. And ministry is good, but God never called anybody. Not even Jesus called himself to it every. So don't be trying to be better than God. Okay. Let's not try to be better than God, because there's no way that we're going to win that contest. So here's what I'm going to leave the listener with today is make sure in your time of wanting and needing friendship that you don't allow yourself to be completely distracted. Because what happens is, instead of creatively figuring out how can I be part of a community, whether that's one person or 100? How can I become a part of flesh and blood interaction? If you're not careful and you've already experienced this, you will death scroll. You'll watch, you know, Netflix binge watching, right? You'll become a couch potato. You know, food will become your friend. Listen, it's happened to all of us. But what all we're really doing is distracting ourselves from what really needs to be done. And we just want to say, pay attention to that, because you're worthwhile having a friend. You're worth having people be in community with you. You're worth, you know, spending time with others. You know, you're worthy of being in the community that God has desired for you. And he wouldn't give you the desire if he didn't intend to meet it. But remember, listener, we cooperate with God. You know, we come underneath his supernatural power, but we do our natural power. And so for you, here's my one thing to ask you to consider to doing. You know, we've already talked about be weird, go first, be vulnerable. Go to your neighbors. Just invite your neighbors for a 30-minute time of getting to know each other. Most of the time, neighbors do not know each other. And it's a sad truth, but it is what it is. So let's just deal with what is, right? Let's not lament about it. Let's do something about it. And you know, gentlemen, when I moved into my neighborhood, it was very well established. And I was actually very surprised that nobody came to greet us. And what I did is I did the opposite, right? Of something that I had begun a process of doing where we lived before. And that was taking somebody of a plant. But it goes back to what we were talking about, what these two gentlemen said. It was yes to be friendly, but it was also to give them our phone number should they need to know. Because you never know if somebody's new in town. They don't know where to go shopping. They don't know where to find a seamstress. But I would always invite them to our church too. So it was both and. It was about being friendly, but it was also about being a fisherman. And so when we moved here, I was surprised that nobody came and greeted us, because clearly they were all well established. They knew we were the new kid on the block. So what I did is we had about three new families move in recently. Now, I share this for a reason. Not only, listener, do I want you to be weird, be vulnerable, go first and invite your neighbors in, not for a Bible study. Okay. Invite them in to get to know each other. Right. Put out
for ribeye steak.
Wine, put out some Coke. Right? Simple. But this is what one of the new neighbors asked me. It blew his mind. He kept saying, why did you do this? It's like, because I want to get to know who you are. But why would you? He couldn't let it go. But why would you do this? And I said, honestly, I just figure all of you are new. I would like to know who you are. I figure it's good for you to know your neighbor's name. It really was perplexing to him. And so what I shared with him is that when I came, nobody greeted us. I didn't have attitude about it. I went out and I blessed them at Christmas with, you know, like a bag of popcorn, you know, yummy popcorn, and a Merry Christmas, and invited them to the church, yeah. Right? So, listener, be weird. Go first. Create what you wish you had and let God wow you.
That's good, Laura. That's cool. I would like to, part of what I would like to leave with our audience is we also need a pregame strategy. We need a kind of a pregame galvanization. As sales reps, we are trained to be galvanized to the no. We may have to knock on 100 doors or make 100 emails or whatever the equivalent is now to get a yes. And so you have to be galvanized as a sales rep not to fall apart on the first no. And so, or the 10th no, or the 20th, or the 200th no, you got to keep yourself in the game. So the pregame strategy is basically, if people disappoint us, if our attempt to establish a friendship with them disappoints us or lets us down or doesn't fulfill us, then we have to sort of anticipate that. That's a part of the human condition. But that does not invalidate our friendship needs and our friendship approaches. Like your approach was absolutely beautiful. And it was so beautiful, the guy thought it was weird. Like, what do you want? Do you want my money? What's your agenda here? What's your angle? You were just being lovely and sincere and friendly and all that. And so people will reject our friendship efforts, and we have to be galvanized and not let that fear of rejection cause us to distrust people. As a matter of fact, in a weird kind of way, we need these situations. Because If everything was perfect with friendships, we would have no need of patience. We would have no need of grace. We would have no need to show dignity, even when people disappoint us. And so those opportunities give us the very real opportunities, or when people fail us, give us the real opportunities to show God's characteristics when the chits are down, so to speak. You know, if nobody was a sinner, Christ wouldn't have had to show grace to us. He wouldn't have had to be our friend.
Hallelujah.
But he was our friend when we were at our worst. And so if people fail us and they appear to be at their worst, it's okay. It doesn't invalidate our efforts. We need to, sure, it's going to prick our heart a little bit, but we need to know that this is God's will to establish friendships. We are ministers of reconciliation, or ministers of friendships, if you will. And so I would like to add to what Laura is saying. You know, join a small group, start a small group, host a meal, you know, visit friends without your phones. And you already said this, but say hello to the neighbors, go to the social events. But yeah, have a pregame strategy as well. It's not the end of the world. The people reject you.
I like that. Being prepared, being ready is always a good thing to do. I like what you said, Laura, be weird. Believe me, I'm weird. but, you know, I just want to reiterate some of the things that we brought up. You know, are you wanting to be pursued, or are you pursuing? Kevin said, join a small group. I do that all the time. I tell people, hey, what groups are you part of? And because the more you place yourself out there, the likelihoods you're going to get what you're looking for. It's like fishing. If I go out to fish for 5 minutes once a day and I don't catch anything, I was like, man, fishing is terrible. I hate fishing. No, you need to go out there and stick that reel out there and sit there and wait, or move to a different spot. You know, you don't set up a kiddie pool in your backyard, throw a reel in it, and complain that you don't have any fish, right? Because there's nothing there. but also, what were your friendships like growing up? What are some things that you see in your own life that you need to change? What are those expectations? The thing, you know, I like is, you know, like what Kevin said, is show grace and mercy. Because guess what? People are going to offend us. They're going to treat us a way that we're not going to like. They're going to have expectations that are far different from ours. And so we need to show grace and mercy. We need to practice grace and mercy. And be vulnerable, but be guarded. Have good boundaries. And what is coming out of you? Is it a fragrance? Or does it stink? And so we have to re-examine ourselves. We have to evaluate ourselves first. And because if we're striking out all the time, we have to start looking at the source, which is, okay, it might be me. Now, you may be in a situation where opportunity is not there, and that's okay. But also operate in grace, mercy, forgiveness with the small opportunities that you have that you may be striking out in. And so I like to also go to the scriptures. And one that popped out was, you know, Proverbs 27 has a few scriptures in it in about friendship. And so, but, you know, I don't like read all the way through a Proverbs chapter because you're jumping onto different subjects. But one of them popped out and says, this is 27:10, do not forsake your friend or a friend of your family. Or as the New American Standard says, do not forsake your own friend or your father's friend. And do not go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity. Notice it said your calamity, not a calamity. Better is a neighbor who is near than a brother far away. So let's think about it. Laura's bringing up something about being neighborly. And some of us struggle with being neighborly because we feel vulnerable. And we have family, but they may live hours away. They may live days away. And so we need to cultivate where we are. You know, we have to bloom where we're planted, but we have to cultivate where we are too. And you may strike out. You know, a farmer doesn't give up when something doesn't grow out of the ground. He tries again. He keeps digging. He keeps putting seeds in the ground. Eventually something's going to grow and you're going to reap a harvest. So what I want to say is don't give up. And start to look at things from a different perspective and start to allow yourself to evaluate what may be going on inside of you too. And we can help you. You can reach out to us. You could go to our website and fill out a consult form, and we can sit down with you and see, you know, what things can change, what things can be evaluated. But also get yourself into a Bible believing church and find those small groups. If they don't have one, create one. It's funny because I don't feel like and Kevin will probably disagree with me. I don't feel like I do a whole lot at the church, even though I do. But, you know, it's like I was thinking about it the other day and like, oh, yeah, I have the media team I'm over. I'm also over the security team. And I'm also doing things with the youth. And then I also have a small group with the college and career group. Actually, I am doing a lot. But, you know, if you do enough things and you're well-rounded, you're not overdoing it, it doesn't feel like work. And actually, it starts to be a little cohesive and be a part of your life. But find a small group and start one if there isn't one there. And you'll be amazed when people walk in and go, I've been waiting for somebody to start one. This is just what I needed. And you start ministering to each other, growing close to each other. And then you find that you're not being needy, but you're serving. And so we need to start looking at things from a different perspective. So let me see if there's one more scripture I want to bring up before we head out. Let's see. A friend, this is Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times. And a brother is born for the time of adversity. I pray that you find that friend. I pray that you can be that friend. And as we move forward, we're going to find that we need our friends and our family through any calamity that comes our way. Thank you for listening to the Encouragement Now podcast. For more information about us, what we're doing, and how you can support our ministry, please go to encouragementnowministries.com. Your support can help change lives.